What should you do when you realize that some of your favorite children's books of all time are racist? Educators, parents, and kids are grappling with how to handle the work of Dr. Seuss, Laura Ingalls Wilder, and many others. From KUW's Race and Equity team, Ann Dornfeld reports.
I would not like them with a mouse. I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere.
Green eggs and ham.
Beezus Murphy has always loved Dr. Seuss.
I feel like he just kind of sees the world differently than our people, like the same way I do. Because he envisions this world filled with socks-wearing foxes and elephants who raise bird children and green eggs and ham.
Murphy is in eighth grade at Louisa Boren STEM K-8 school in West Seattle. For years, she's looked forward to Dr. Seuss Day, when students get to leave their uniforms at home and come to school dressed as their favorite book character. Murphy usually comes as Sally from The Cat in the Hat. But lately, she's been reconsidering her affection for the famous children's books.
The first time I started seeing a different side of Dr. Seuss was when we were learning about the Japanese internment last year in school.
Murphy saw racist cartoons Seuss had drawn during World War II depicting Japanese Americans heading for internment camps. He drew them as caricatures and as traitors who all still swore allegiance to Japan.
I was very shocked.
But the problem with Dr. Seuss doesn't end there. One librarian analyzed the characters from his 50 most popular children's books. She found that 98% of the human characters were white. And the people of color were stereotyped, dehumanized, or subservient, often all of the above. Seuss drew Asian characters with yellow skin and rice paddy hats, turban-wearing characters riding exotic animals, African people depicted as monkeys.
And one time, my mom and I, we were reading this big book of Dr. Seuss stories, and my mom was pointing out the racial imagery in the drawings. I just felt kind of naive for not noticing it sooner.
A lot of people have been looking differently at Dr. Seuss lately. The National Education Association created Dr. Seuss Day, otherwise known as Read Across America Day, 20 years ago. It falls on the birthday of Dr. Seuss's alter ego, Theodore Geisel. This school year, the NEA shifted the focus of Read Across America away from Seuss and toward diverse books and readers. At Beezus Murphy's school, Principal Ben Ostrom followed suit. No more Dr. Seuss Day.
The increase in the number of books that are available that really reflect diverse authors and perspectives is gigantic. We've had just a huge explosion in publishing, and those are opportunities that kids need to see as they look at seeing themselves and the complexity of our country.
Ostrom says for him, it's not about getting rid of Dr. Seuss. The books are classics, and like most classics, they're reflective of their times. But Ostrom says in order to teach Dr. Seuss appropriately, teachers need to be ready to go far beyond the rhyming whimsy.
It's a complex conversation in terms of understanding from a broad range of ages, like how was Dr. Seuss reflective of the racism in our country at the time and that exists through his life and today, and a reflection of privilege, and how can we learn from that?
That's something teachers and librarians are increasingly thinking about today, how to address prejudice and bias in children's literature. Which books belong on the shelves, and which do more harm than good?
They drove away and left it lonely and empty in the clearing among the big trees, and they never saw that little house again. They were going to the Indian country.
Recognize those opening lines? That's the ominous first page of Little House on the Prairie. Northgate Elementary School librarian Kate Eads says this is just one of the books she struggles with.
Do I just tell the student up front, you're going to come across some words that are inappropriate, or do I take the book off? I want them to know the story. I want them to know how people treated and talked about people. I want them to know the complete history, but I also don't want to be enforcing a stereotype or a negative connotation or a demoralizing term. I have to find the balance between it all.
Eads says in the case of Little House on the Prairie, she might suggest the child next read a book from a Native American perspective. But a lot of books she just pulls from the shelves.
I was once in a library, and the books in the library about black children were either about their hair or about being enslaved. And I pulled them, and I was left with fewer than a dozen books that were appropriate, complete, authentic representations of African American or black children.
Pulling books is easy. Replacing them is tougher. For years, Seattle Public Schools has not provided libraries with any budget for new materials. Libraries tend to rely on PTA money. That means schools with the most prosperous families tend to have the newest books. Eads is lucky. Her low-income school got a private grant to upgrade its library, but she has to supplement with money from her own pocket, and it's still not enough. Last year, she surveyed the school's fifth graders.
In our library, do you think there is at least one book that is about someone just like you? What you like to do, what you look like, what your home is like?
Eads flips through the responses.
I don't think so. No. I don't know. Amulet. Sometimes. Ghost. No. Nothing. So this is the theme. No.
She had mixed feelings about the results.
No. I was happy to see they were honest. I was not surprised by the answer. I was frustrated that I couldn't solve the problem because I don't have the money.
That could change thanks to a bill Governor Jay Inslee just signed. It includes $20 in library materials funding for every public school student in the state. Ead says as long as school libraries actually see that money, it could be revolutionary for kids.
Right now, it's our number one need. They have to see themselves, that we care about them, and that we respect them enough to spend money on books for them, to seek these out, to find authors that will write about them, that will show them as that complete, authentic, whole child, instead of the shallow stuff.
Back at Louisa Bourne's STEM K-8 school, those are the books teachers focused on for this year's Read Across America Day. But Principal Ben Ostrom says they plan to keep teaching Dr. Seuss, too.
As white people in America, we so easily have the choice to pay attention to issues of race or not. And I think that Dr. Seuss is a really powerful opportunity for people to say, well, wait a minute. We can't just ignore that history and that set of images that are a part of our experiences, because that's part of how we got to this place.
In Seattle, I'm Ann Dornfeld, KUOW News.